to support three children. And yes, family is very important to all of us.
What were some of the things that she experienced raising three children on her own at a young age?
Well, during that time was the Great Depression, and it was not easy because in those days they didn't have retirement benefits, they didn't have Social Security and things like that. So my gram worked every day to support her family. And it, fortunately for her, her father lived with them and helped out in that regard. But they always had a huge vegetable garden. My Graham had a beautiful flower garden, and canned everything from the garden. They had a cow at one time, and they had chickens. And coming from Detroit, that was, oh, what are these things? Because we didn't grow up with them. And then, you know, during the war, the Second World War, a lot of people had victory gardens, and they were diligent about growing gardens. And I remember my Graham worked for the Clark Estate, and if they had leftover vegetables that they weren't going to use, they would give them to my grandmother. So my sister and I had the chore of preparing the vegetables and everything, so when my grandmother came home from work, they would be ready for her to can and do all that. But, you know, we never lacked for something to do. In Cooperstown, there was always, we walked every Sunday to the cemetery with my grandmother and put her flowers on the graves. Then we would walk, and you did a lot of walking because a lot of people didn't have cars, and you really didn't need them. So we would walk to Fairy Springs when we were old enough to be by ourselves and spent the day at Fairy Springs. With our friends. So, yeah, Cooperstown was just, well, I said I wasn't going to live anyplace else other than Cooperstown when I grew up, and that worked out, fortunately for me.
And tell me about your father.
Oh, my dad. My dad was not quiet. And my dad, he was like my sister. My dad was born in Scotland. He graduated from high school and went immediately to England to serve his apprenticeship, and then met the Clark family and came to the United States. And he rode for Ambrose. He rode steeplechase for, I can't remember how many years, but his last ride was going over hurdles. He was steeplechase, and he went over the hurdle, and the horse stumbled and came down on him. So that kind of ended his riding career, but he, of course, he was always interested in horses, so he worked for Mr. Clark in the stables until he couldn't work because of the rash that he... But my dad was fun-loving. He loved to dance. He loved to play the piano. And he had a large family. He had eight brothers and sisters, and they were all very close, mostly in Detroit. Some, but they always got together. It didn't matter that they were not living close by. Very, very fun group. All of them. Yeah.
How did the injuries affect your family?
Well, it was, they came back, my mom and dad and my sister and I came back to Cooperstown, and you just carried on. My mother worked as a nurse, and my dad was working for Ambrose afterwards, and my sister and I had started school, so it was fine. Yeah.
How did that affect your growing up, having such strong role models in your family?
Well, you always wanted to measure up, but my dad brought my sister and I up to and told us that we could do anything we wanted to do in life. And he held to that. If you ever felt that you weren't worthy, he was right beside you. He was a role model, really, in that regard. And a very loving father, really. My mom, she was more quiet. She was a wonderful mother to my sister and I. And, yeah, supported us in everything that we wanted to do. Yeah.
Did your mother's role in the family change after the accident?
No, it really didn't. My mother knew she wanted to be a nurse and really wanted to work, so that was fine. And, of course, we were all together, and I think that's all that she really wanted, was the family to be together. I'm not sure she really wanted to move to Detroit, Michigan, where she also was in nursing, but that's where my dad had to go, so.
How did that affect her leaving her community to go to Detroit?
I would say that my mother, and maybe that's why I feel the same way, that Cooperstown was always home. And she, as I said, she sent my sister and I to Cooperstown every summer, and then she would have time off and come to Cooperstown and be with us. But then she and my dad moved back to Cooperstown when I was a senior in high school. Yes, so she was back home, and her mom was here, and so everybody was happy. Even my dad, I think my dad really wanted to be back here also, because he had made many friends. So, yeah.
And what role did the Clark family play in your life?
In my life? A lot. I mean, personally, I worked at the Baseball Hall of Fame, for one thing. My first job out of business school was with the treasurer of the Baseball Hall of Fame. But I think that what they really did in my life was to teach me that doing good things in the world was how you should grow up, because they were so good at that. They just were so generous with everybody who worked for them. And I think that it was an example for the rest of us not to just accept things and not appreciate them. I mean, they did so much. I don't know if I mentioned all the flowers on the, and everywhere, the Fenimore House, the Farmers Museum, the Otisauga, they did a lot, and like I said, it meant a lot to the people in the village.
How did that make you and your family feel, experiencing that generosity personally with the Clark family?
How did it make me feel? Well, it makes you feel like you're part of something. You, like I said, you don't just accept it and not appreciate it. And how would it affect me? Well, because my grand worked for them, and because my dad worked for the other Clark, Stephen Clark and the Ambrose Clark, you knew them. You know, it wasn't just somebody doing something for the village and you didn't have a clue who they were. They were here and they were friendly. to you, and Jane Clark carries that through. But yeah, they're very, very special to have had them in our village.
And would you mind elaborating a little bit on the equestrian culture here in Cooperstown?
Well, yes, and it was both sides. It was Ambrose Clark and his brother Stephen Clark, and they both owned horses, and they both took them to Saratoga and places racing. And how that would affect the village, I'm not sure, other than the fact that they employed people. The other thing I forgot to mention is the Knox School for Girls was in the wintertime, the Otisauga was the Knox School for Girls. And they had, down where the high school is now, they had a huge barn that was the riding. They had equestrian, all kinds of horses that girls would participate in. But the other thing that I loved about the horses and the village is that where on Elk Street, I don't know if you know where that is, it's towards a hospital, but there's this huge white building that used to be a carriage house, and it is now Bassett. They have offices there. But on the first floor was it was filled with beautiful carriages, and the lower level were horses and the tack room, and it was special. It was, you would see Ambrose Clark out riding in one of the carriages, but one of the most special ones was they had what they called the foreign hand. It kind of looked like a stagecoach. But it was, especially when he had visitors from out of town, he would take them in the foreign hand. And that would be four horses. And it kind of looked like a stagecoach. And then on the back, he would have two men who had horns. And they would go around the lake, and then they would blow the horn, and everybody would be out on the curb watching him go by, and he just loved to do that. Mm-hmm. But that really was a very special building, and it still is. When you look at it, they haven't changed the outside at all. But my dad also worked in the with the horses and in the tack room.
Tell me a little bit more about your father's riding.
My dad's riding. Well, he was in charge. He was very small. He was like 5'2", I believe, if that. His riding weight was 98 pounds. And for such a small person, you cannot imagine how big his hands were. And I always thought, ooh. But I watched him get on his horse, and he could never get on it alone because the horses, the steeplechase horses, are very tall. And I think one of them was 17 hands tall. And my dad had to, I think I told you, get on the fountain up at the stables to get on the horse. So obviously he had help. If they were at the racetrack or something like that. But he was very proud of what he did with his life. He always wanted to ride, and that came to be true. He talked about it not a great deal unless you asked him. And he loved to travel, so when he left Cooperstown, and they rode at Saratoga for the summer, and then they left Cooperstown and went on down to Aiken, South Carolina, where they wintered the horses. And he loved traveling like that, meeting people and meeting the other jockeys, and he did love what he did.
You mentioned that you spent time with your father around the horses and around the stables. Would you mind just elaborating on that for us?
I used to love to go with my dad. I went with him a lot, especially, you know, when I was 4 and 5 before I went to school. I would be with my dad, and we would go over to the stables if something special wasn't going on, or if he had to do something with the horses. And I always remember going from stall to stall, and my dad would tell me the name of every horse, and then I would have carrots or a sugar cube and feed them. But there was always so much activity going on. It was wonderful. Not only did he have race horses, he played polo. Not my dad, but Ambrose, and he had teams where they played polo, so they had a lot of horses in there. And it was just so fun to go up there and see everybody doing their jobs and brushing the horses and taking care of the things that they needed to take care of with that.
What was your father's experience like after his injury, moving into a different role?
He was not very happy in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was devastating for him. But my dad wasn't one to mope around or be like that. It took quite a while for him to get well. Of course, in those days, they didn't have the rehabilitation that they have nowadays, and he was in a body cast. So it prevented him from doing very much. And when he was better, he had a job, and he just carried on and wouldn't ever. I don't ever remember him saying, oh, I wish that hadn't happened. He just knew it would someday, maybe, and accepted it. Yeah.
How did your family and the community help you get through that difficult time?
Well, I was too young to really be involved with that. The village, of course, my mom and dad came back here right away, and my mother went right to work. And I assume everything went well for them. It surely did for my sister and I. Not much change, you know. Daddy was just not riding his horse. But I loved it. When I came back as a senior in high school and my dad came back, Ambrose Clark hired him as his companion rider. So every morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, the two of them would go off, and basically, I think they rode the bridle path, which runs along the lake and comes out at Starfield. And my dad, of course, had this huge horse, and Ambrose he rode a pony. And he was in his 80s at that time, kind of bent over, and it was so fun to see them. And they just enjoyed each other's company, and that lasted for about a year before he couldn't ride anymore. But one of the special things, I guess we haven't talked about that, is when you go down the Beaver Meadow Road, there's a tower, and I don't know if you've walked up there, but up there is buried a horse who, his name is Calsboro Jack, and Mr. Ambrose Clark's dog. Well, Calsboro Jack is up there because he won the Grand National in England. So that was very, very special. But I think the story that I heard was that Ambrose wasn't fond of that horse, so he gave the horse to his wife, Florence, and Florence won the Grand National which everybody kind of chuckles about. But anyway, that's why that horse is up there, because he was so special. Yeah.
What? How did that affect your father, having that close relationship with Ambrose Clark?
He loved it. He just loved talking to him and talking about riding and the horses they rode and owned. And it was a very special time for him, because my dad was then probably in his 60s and Ambrose was in his 80s. And it was just a quiet time for both of them to be together. Yeah.
How did it help your father cope and to have that friendship, that mutual bond over horses, that mutual love over horses?
He would laugh about a lot that went on when their conversations, and he was just delighted. He would come down the street and show us the horse that he was riding that day and have to get on the bench to get up on him. And I would stand there and look at him and think, oh, well, just beautiful, beautiful animals. Mm-hmm. I think that was my dad's favorite thing about horses, and how smart they were and the beauty. And my dad spent a lot of time brushing them and making sure that they were perfect. And the Dolly, the Clydesdale up at Woodland, we would go up there and my dad would be washing the fetlocks, the white, big white ones, and with ivory soap. I mean, everything had to be perfect with these horses. and I think Ambrose appreciated my dad being with him at that age, because most of his friends were gone, and he wanted to ride, and it's hard to find somebody who would want to ride every morning at 7 o'clock. So I think they had a great time.
How has the equestrian culture continued on in your family today?
Today, not so much, but my youngest daughter, Megan, decided at a young age, we lived in Edmonston at that time, and there was a horse stables not far in the village, so it was good for her. So she decided that she wanted to ride horses, and at an early age started. And the one thing that the picture I have of her, she's in her English riding hab, but she did ride Western. And I said, well, you know, just don't do that too loud in case your grandfather's listening. When she'd get on the cowboy outfit, and I'd be, oh my goodness. But she rode both, and then she wanted a horse of her own, so she had a horse of her own and traveled around the country with the group out of Edmonston. And they had two horse trailers. They usually had about six horses going, and they'd go to Mississippi and Ohio. She went to Montana, and she did a lot of riding, and it was a great experience for her, because when she owned a horse, she had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning before school and take care of the horse. And then when she was traveling with a horse, she had to take care of her own horse. So it was a great time for her. And it's sad that my dad was not alive to appreciate that. But my sister's children, they lived up in Pierstown, and they had two horses. So my dad loved that. He'd just go up and tell them how to take care of them, and if they were riding, what they were doing right or wrong, and he was willing to do that. He's like, no, 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 you don't do that. Yeah. He was a character.
So What has the Cooperstown community meant to your family?
Everything. My husband grew up here. He was a native. And my sister's husband was a native of Cooperstown. So we were fortunate in that regard that we were here together, even though we were in Edmundston, wasn't that far away. Edmundston and Cooperstown, Edmundston is much smaller than Cooperstown, so you can't really compare them other than the fact that Edmundston's a very tight group because that's all they have is a school. They don't have movies and all of that anymore. But Cooperstown, I don't know how to express it. It's a feeling of togetherness in Cooperstown. You do everything together, especially with your children. And fortunately, there were so many things that you could do that with. I don't know how to express it. Maybe I think some people think living in a small town is difficult, but it isn't difficult here because there are so many things to do if you want to be busy. There are wonderful things. Well, we didn't talk about the gym. The gymnasium was down where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. When you go through the park, the first building to the right, that was the gym. And that goes way back. I don't know when that opened, but before my husband was a child. Because we all learned, everybody in the village went there, learned how to swim. That was the big thing. And it was open all year round. They had basketball courts and many other things going on there. So it's always been a togetherness in the village. I guess that's the word. It's you're all together. Yeah.
And I'll ask you, what has your family meant to the community?
Well, what have we contributed? Well, let me see. I've belonged to organizations in the village, and my sister did, of course, also. My mother, maybe not as much as my sister and I, because in those days you worked most of the time. And my sister and I have been involved in activities at the church, Garden Club of America. I volunteered at the Red Cross. Things like that. I can't name them all right now, but always involved in something going on. Like the Garden Club, it's coming up soon in November. We prepare all the lights and wrappings for the light poles for Christmas. And we get together and put those together, and then we meet again and make favors for the nursing homes and Thanksgiving home. And at the for civic projects, down at the foot of Pioneer Street is the buffer strip. We call that the buffer strip with all the plants. Well, the Garden Club did that. It was one of the members came up with this idea, and then the whole club became involved where that was all planted by the Garden Club. And the reason for a buffer strip is to protect the erosion of the land around the lake, because before the buffer strip, the water would come down Pioneer Street and wash all of that into the lake. So now we have put plants that have deep root systems, so that can't happen. And the Garden Club of America thought that was such a great idea to pass along to other people. They presented us with $25,000.